Troy Cassidaly there, and I love this place. Terrific song. A Chinese-Australian journalist, Monica Tan, packed in her job to take a 30,000-kilometre solo road trip throughout the Australian outback. She recounts that six-month car and camping journey in her book, Stranger Country, which is a celebration of life in Australia's remotest regions. Earlier this week, she told reporter Veronica Matheson about her trip and how it changed her outlook on life.
Monica, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you.
Now, it's great to talk to you about your 6 months solo in the outback. How did the trip change you?
It had a huge impact on not just me, but I would say more than me, on my relationship to Australia. It radically refigured what my idea of Australia was and what it means to be Australian. And I think by the end of it, I had a deep feeling of love and commitment to Australia and a realization that I belong here and I am part of this country.
And you didn't feel that before?
I think that I've always had a sort of tension with Australia, and that comes from multiple identities that I have. So obviously I'm Chinese Australian. My parents immigrated here as Chinese Malaysians. Growing up, I didn't know a lot of Chinese Australians. Also the fact that as a city slicker, as someone who doesn't really accord with some of the great icons that we have, which tend to be rural and connected to our colonial history, icons like the drover's wife, the bushranger, the digger, the larrikin, even the lifesaver or the surf bunny. These weren't images that I could really identify with, and that creates a sort of gap between how you as an Australian, as you know, someone of an immigrant background and living in the suburbs of Sydney, that's a gap between you and your perceived notion of what being Australian is.
So do you feel more comfortable in Australia?
I definitely do. And I think the reason for that is that as I travelled, I kept encountering stories of Australia's past that did include people who looked like me. And that was a real surprise to me. It made me realise that people like me have been part of this country for a lot longer than I expected. So part of that was discovering the Chinese-Australian history of this country, meeting third-generation Chinese-Australians, visiting old mining sites where Chinese people used to live in the late 1800s, seeing that it was my people who were, you know, we were so integral to the building of the colony, whether it's building roads, running the market gardens. We were pearlers, we were cooks on stations. We were, in some towns, we were outnumbering European people 4-1 or 5-1. You know, that was really meaningful to me to not just know in the abstract, you know, not just read about it in history textbooks, but actually visit these sites, actually meet these descendants. And hear their stories.
I'd imagine it made you feel very proud.
I definitely felt proud. I mean, it's incredible how the characteristics of Chinese people remain so constant. I mean, the descriptions used about Chinese people in that time, they were hardworking, they were modest, they didn't want to cause any trouble, they kept to themselves, they were survivors.
Were there times, Monica, when you felt, or rather wished, that you were not travelling alone?
No, that never really occurred to me. I mean, I'm quite an extrovert, so I didn't find it too difficult to meet people on the road. And I think that I was quite a curious sight. It's very rare to meet solo travellers in the outback. I mean, I could count the number I met on two hands. I was definitely a bit of an oddity, and people, they were interested in me and friendly to me. And I suppose because I'm a woman on my own, and they felt some degree of care that they wouldn't usually give to a solo traveller.
Now, there were many highlights on your journey, but when you think back on the outback and your trip, what comes to mind immediately?
For me, what was the sort of most pervasive thing. If you read the book, you'll really see that nature was so important to my trip. I mean, I write a lot about history. I write a lot of stories of people I met, but nature constantly finds its way in my writing. And when I was reading back through my journals, long, you know, passages about my thoughts or history are sort of studded with observations about birds and insects and the landscape and sunrises and sunsets. That connection to the land was something that I had failed to feel growing up in Sydney in the suburbs. And it was really amazing to find myself comfortable in the Australian landscape, to not find it frightening or brutal or ugly or difficult, but instead feel connected to the wind and the water, to go fishing and eat the fish from the sea, to start to know the names of the birds, to start to know the names of the plants, to understand how to keep safe and feel that this land is not weird and foreign, and it's my home, and it's really important to feel comfortable in it.
Did you intend to write a book when you left on that journey?
Yeah, I'd quit, you know, really great job at The Guardian, where I was a full-time journalist. It wasn't an easy decision to make, and I would never have done that unless I felt that I was embarking on some other project worth tackling. So I had these vague intentions of writing a book, but I didn't know what that book would look like, and I never travelled for the book. I never went to locations for the book. I always travelled because it was what I wanted to do for myself.
Was 6 months the perfect length for your journey?
I definitely was, by the end of it, feeling a little bit fatigued. Not so much of regional Australia or the outback. I was fatigued of travelling. I was fatigued of not having a permanent abode. I was fatigued of constantly being the stranger in town. I have to confess I was fatigued with living in a tent and being uncomfortable and not being able to charge my phone when I wanted to, not knowing the state of the bathrooms that I might encounter all the time. So things like that started to grate on me a little bit. And by the end of it, I was feeling homesick and I was keen to get home. 6 months is a long time to take out of your working life. For me right now, I'm so keen to go back to some of these areas and to explore new areas, but whether I would do it all in one big long road trip again is probably not something I would do anytime soon.
What about the characters you met along the way? I mean, there's a couple that you seem to spend quite a bit of time with. Will you keep in touch with those people?
I'm pretty much connected to everyone in the book, with most of the characters, you know, showing them passages, showing them the bits of the book that they're in. There are also many people I met on the way that I never got, you know, I had brief encounters with. We didn't swap details. I don't even know their names. So it'll be interesting to see if people come out of the woodwork having read my book.
It's a great read and hopefully it'll be a huge success. What do you do now?
At the moment, I work in politics and I also teach Australian studies. It's been really fascinating to see how much my trip has influenced my working life post-trip and post-writing the book. So obviously, as an Australian studies teacher, I teach about a lot of the history that I encountered and a lot of the places, significant places of history I went to. It's really, you know, I think it's really meaningful, hopefully, for my students to be able to hear some of these stories from someone who's actually, you know, been to these places where these things happen. And I think that sometimes we fail to understand that patriotism is a really powerful motivator for people. I'm finding ways in which to share this love and passion I have for Australia with the way that I talk about politics and the way that I talk about the vision that we have for Australia.
Monica, you've been terrific. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much.
That was Veronica Matheson there speaking with the author Monica Tan, whose book Stranger Countries published by Allen and Unwin this past week.